I did want to make you just aware, but just continue to remind you of the Town Hall for Hope, the Dave Ramsey, coming up 7 o'clock Thursday night. That's a free event. And so if you know of anybody at your work that might like to come to this event, there are several churches in the area hosting this. There's about 6,000 churches worldwide already signed up for this. And so this is going to be a big, huge event. It's a nationwide live town hall meeting as Dave Ramsey comes and just shares the state of the economy where we're at today, kind of gives us some wisdom. And he's a guy who practices financial wisdom from the Word of God, based out of the Word of God, and is helping so many. He's just going to address and kind of bring hope. He wants to bring hope. How many know that if you turn on the news every day, what do you hear? Thank you, son. What a good-looking guy. You like that guy there? I went to a school the other day. We were voting, and he was eating lunch the same time I walked in. The kids were like, wow, you look just like your dad, man, the hair and everything. I said, he's better looking than I am. Thank God. Yeah, here we go. Anyway, so today, Dave Ramsey is going to be sharing. He just wants to speak some hope into the nation. He wants to speak that we hear doom and gloom, doom and gloom, doom and gloom, and all the papers and the newscasts are sharing so much doom and gloom. He wants to come and address the economy and share the hope of the economy and what God can do. And so make sure that you can come to that if all possible. I think that you'll enjoy this time. Today we're going to continue in our series we've called Vision. We took time out last week for our Easter message. Can you hear me okay? If you can hear me, raise your hand. I want to make sure you can hear me okay. Maybe just turn me up as a tad up here in the monitors. I can't hear myself this morning. We're going to talk about this thing of vision and how God today, we know that God is calling us to be people of vision. And you hear vision statements and mission statements of churches, and we've just simply said, God, what are you calling us to be here at Destiny Church? And so we have simply just have based it that Destiny Church exists. Destiny Church exists to teach people to what? To passionately love God, to genuinely love people, and to teach others to do the same. We know that if we will learn to love God with a passion in our heart, that the other things will fall in line. That if we can get our passion right for God, if we can get our priorities right and begin to love God with a passion in our life, that the other things will fall into line. The other things will begin to come into play, because we know if you want to please the Lord, you're going to want to do what His Word says. Isn't that true? If you want to love the Lord, you want to do what His Word says. And so we want to create an atmosphere in our heart's desires to do everything that we do, that we continue to raise up people who have a passion to love God, who have a passion to love Him and to passionately love Him. And so that's why we have extended worship. That's why we have a lot of worship time. That's why we dim the lights during worship. We want to give you a chance to express your love for the Lord. We want you to come in when we have other believers and feel a freedom just to worship God and to fall in love with Him. And we pray today that you are doing that. Like the passion for God is growing in your life. And so forgive me for today. We're not going to rush past this, okay? We're not going to rush past this. Maybe some of you are hoping that I would start something new today, that I would pull out some kind of new trick out of my hat, you know, and bring it out of here today. I mean, it gets hard pulling out a new illustration every week, okay? It gets hard sometimes coming up with a new illustration every week. And, you know, I really pray that God continues to give us creative ideas, and we try to do that a lot around here. But, you know, we're not going to rush past this point, because this is a very important foundation of our Christian walk. Matter of fact, it's probably just one of the most important things we've ever preached here at Destiny Church. One of the most important principles we're teaching is these principles of what's the most important thing that we can do for our life, and that's to become passionate followers of Jesus Christ. That's what God wants for you to do in your life. That's what He wants for me. And if we'll learn to put Him first and learn to passionately follow Him. So how do we know this is important to God? Because it's right out of Scripture. Matthew 22 and verse 37 says, Jesus said to him, "You shall love the Lord God with all your heart, with all your soul, with all your mind. This is the first and great commandment. And the second is like it. You shall love your neighbor as yourself." When Jesus was asked, what's the most important thing we can do? This is what He answered. And so we know today that if He answered this way, this should be one of the most important things that we apply to our life as Christians, is putting this fundamental truth to action into our life. How many, it's not enough just to have knowledge of it. Remember the illustration I used with the big balls and the small balls up here? how it's not enough just to have the knowledge of it. We have the knowledge of all this, but if we're only putting forth a small effort, then we're not walking in the blessing. The blessing comes when we can apply this knowledge to our life. That once we have a knowledge, all right, God wants me to love him with all my heart. God wants me to love him with all my soul. And God wants me to love him with all my mind and to love my neighbor as myself. If this is what God wants me to do, I can have this knowledge. It doesn't bring blessing. But when I learn how to passionately love God this way, I'm putting my knowledge into action, and therefore it releases blessing in my life. Understand the difference, okay? And so today we're wanting to put to action to the knowledge that God's given us. So we're going to talk about this statement today, how to love God with all your mind. How to love God with all your mind. Can you just close your eyes a second? Just close your eyes a second. And I want you just to clear your mind. Now I want you just to think of anything you want to right now. With your eyes closed, just think of anything you want to right now. Now if I went around to the room today and asked you what popped in your mind, what was the first thing that popped in your mind? Some of you would say lunch. Some of you would say maybe a problem that's going on at home, maybe a deadline tomorrow morning that you got to be ready to do. Some of you would say, boy, that rain makes me sleepy. I mean, we had different things that would pop in our mind. And see, our mind plays such a big tool in our walk with God. And it's important what we allow to come into our mind. It's important what we allow to meditate on, what we allow to do there. Because God knew this. That's why God says, I want you to learn to love me with your mind. Because he knows it's a very important part of our Christian walk is allowing our mind to be ruled by the love of God and the Spirit of God. So God's wanting us to move this way. And before we move further, I want to just talk to you about your mind a second. First of all, there's three things about our minds we must realize. First of all, God knows our thoughts. Isn't this true? God knows our thoughts. If you didn't know this or not, God knows every thought that we have. Psalms 139 and 2 says, you know my thoughts before I think them. He knows your thoughts before you think them. Isn't that a scary thing? Some of you are thinking today, boy, I hope he didn't think what I was just thinking. Hope he didn't know what I was just thinking. Too bad. He knows. God knows what you're thinking today. God knows what you're thinking, and he knows today that every thought that we have, and he understands it. That's the good thing. I don't want you to be embarrassed of your thoughts, but I want you to have this thought of thinking, you know what? God understands my thoughts. God understands what I'm thinking. And he knows them already in advance. And so this should be an act of comfort to us, knowing that God knows our thoughts. The second thing about our minds we must realize is that God has the power to change our way of thinking. God has the power to change our way of thinking. Romans 3:6 says, the mind of a sinful man is death. But the mind controlled by the Spirit is what? Of life and peace. Now, how many today say, I want a mind that leads to death? How many want a mind that leads to what? To life and peace. The Spirit of life and peace. Yeah, we do. We want a Spirit of life and peace. That's what we want to be controlled in our life. And so he says, the mind of a sinful man is death, but the mind controlled by the Spirit is a life of peace. God can change the way you think. And God wants to change the way you think. Today, Romans 12:2 says, do not be conformed any longer to the pattern of this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your heart. No. What does it say? By the renewing of what? Of your mind. That's right. Do not be conformed any longer to the pattern of this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind. So we have the ability to know that God can change the way we think. I can tell you the way I think now is a lot different than the way I thought 10 years ago. Because what has happened through my Christian walk and through my maturity, God is changing the way I think. God is changing the way I react to things. God is changing the way I meditate on things. And see, as a Christian, this should be a continual thing in our life that we realize that God is changing the way we think. Would you, Pastor Mel, keep bringing that microphone, would you, this morning? My voice is getting very weak, and so I want to use a little bit powerful microphone. Otherwise, I'm going to be done about halfway through, and you guys will be cheering. Yeah, praise God.
Test 1, 2, all right. They can crank me up a little bit louder here and I get feedback. Let's continue on. So we know that God can change the way we think. And thirdly, the Bible tells us that we are responsible for our thoughts. We are responsible for our thoughts. Isn't this a crazy idea here that we're responsible for our thoughts? Because how many say, I can't control what comes in my mind? The devil made me do it. The devil put that there, and we are responsible for our thoughts. Look what it says. Our minds are really like radio frequencies. You know that? Really, our minds are like radio frequencies. As you're walking through, I mean, there's all kinds of things that are coming through your mind, okay? They're like radio waves coming through there. You can choose what you want to tune in, and you can choose what you want to tune out. We have that ability. We have that control. We can choose what I want to tune in, and I can choose what I want to tune out. I love satellite radio, man. You got 150 channels, man. You never get bored. There's always something. If you want to laugh, or if you want to hear talk radio, if you want to hear easy listening, if you want to hear this or that, there's always something there to listen to, man. But I can choose what I want to listen to. I can choose what I want to tune into. And the same goes with our minds. We have control to tune in or tune out to what we want to do. 2 Corinthians 10:5 says it like this: we demolish arguments and every pretension that sets itself up against the knowledge of God, and we take captive, look what it says, we take captive every thought to make it obedient to Christ. That's a responsibility that we have, to take captive our thoughts and to make them obedient to Christ. And so when it comes to worshiping God with our mind, loving God with our mind, we've got to learn that we have to take captive every thought. We have to take captive. We cannot allow impure things to come in and to take control of our minds. It's up to us to make sure we guard that and say, God, no, I'm choosing to change that station. I'm choosing to tune in to something better. I'm choosing to tune in to the things of God. I'm choosing to change the station. You have that ability. I have that freedom of choice today. You have that freedom of choice. And worshiping and loving God with our mind is about making this freedom of choice. And so what do we choose to do? I think the scripture is very clear in Philippians 4:8. This is the things that he wants us to think about. This is the thing he wants our minds to be upon. Finally, brothers, whatever is true, whatever is noble, whatever is right, whatever is pure, whatever is lovely, whatever is admirable, anything excellent and praiseworthy, think about such things. These are the things that we're told to put in our mind. These are the things that we're told to concentrate in. These are the things we're told to change the station to, okay? These are the things we're supposed to change and tune into our life. And so how do we do that today? I'm going to talk to you about this thing today, and we're going to look through this one verse. And I'm going to very quickly go through and give you some quick ideas on how to concentrate on these things in a practical way in your life. So how do we do it? Number one, you have to meditate upon God's truth. He says, whatever is true. We meditate in our mind upon God's truth. The word meditate, that word comes from what? The word to concentrate. It means to what? We think of that, we think it means to clear our mind, doesn't it? It means to clear our mind and to open it up. No, it's not clearing your mind. What the Word of God is talking about is focusing your mind. There's a big difference. We're not clearing our mind and opening ourselves up just to any old thing to come in. But no, we're focusing upon the good of God. We're focusing upon who God is in our life. It's a meditation that God wants to focus on who He is. He says to focus on whatever is true. And this word true is the word alethianos, which comes from the Greek that actually means like this. It means to things that you can depend upon in your life. That's what it comes from. Things you can depend upon. Things that are rock solid. That's what it means. Things that are true. It means things that are rock solid here. We're called to concentrate on our mind and put in our mind upon things that are rock solid. Things that we can depend upon in our life. These are the things that he calls us to meditate on. Things that have truth in our life. And when he talks about meditating, he's not talking about just sitting out in the field somewhere, man. You know, you think about meditation, what you think about it. Think about someone sitting there and their legs crossed and their hands like this, you know. They're going, ba, 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 ram. What are they doing? I don't know. They're doing something. We think of meditation like that. But no, it's not what it is. Meditation, what God's talking about, is not a clearing of the mind to open up to anything, but it's a clearing of the mind to focus on the good things of God, the characters of God, who God is, the truth of God. That's what God's wanting us to place in our mind. It's a meditation on the truth, the dependable things of God. That's what God is wanting us to focus our mind upon. Number two, he talks about in the scripture that whatever is noble, the application for this is you appreciate God's worth. We learn to appreciate God's worth. Whatever is noble, appreciating God's worth. When I mean appreciate, it's the word that we get from the word appreciate, that you would actually appreciate a home or find out its value, its worth of something. We have to learn to appreciate, place value on God's worth. That's what God's wanting us to place in our mind. It's this noble thing of saying, God, we're going to focus our mind on the value of who you are. It's the value of what God brings to us. It's the value of what he's done for us. Philippians 3:8 says it like this. Yes, for me, everything else in this world is worthless when it's compared with the priceless gain of knowing Jesus Christ, my Lord. Isn't that good? He's talking about the price. He's putting a value that, man, that knowing what God's done in my life, that's priceless. There's no money value we can put to that. It's priceless, man. Everything else is a cheap imitation. But when I focus my mind upon what's noble, I'm appreciated, saying, God, you're valuable more than anything else in this world to me. God, you're the most valuable thing that I have in my life. When you value something, how do you treat it? Why is God telling us to do what's noble, to concentrate on what has value to us? What do we think of? What do you do? I mean, I can remember when I was young and dating. That's about 30 pounds ago. How many remember those days, guys? You know what I'm talking about? And remember those days when you were dating somebody and you really didn't like them and you knew that it was probably going to come to an end pretty soon? Anybody had those kind of relationships? You know what I'm talking about? You're kind of dating this person. You know, it's probably not all you cause you. Yeah, I'm dating them. Don't look to the person next to you right now, okay? Remember when you were dating these people and you know it's probably going to come to an end real soon and maybe they had a birthday coming up or Christmas is right there and you felt bad about breaking up with them right before the birthday or right before Christmas. But yet, because you really didn't value that relationship knowing it wasn't going anywhere, what'd you do? You just give them a little bit of something for the day in your gift. You know, hey, here's a card and here's a gift card to McDonald's. You know, there you go. And by the way, it's over. You know, but man, when you found the person you loved, when you found the person that you valued, what'd you do? You begin to give them expensive gifts, didn't you? You begin to, man, you were, you know, we were young. You spend, you know, 2 weeks worth of pay on something that was, you know, it's because you wanted to prove to that person that you loved them and you wanted to show them value. It's just a thing of appreciating something when you show a value to it. And see, that's the same way God's saying to us, we fill our mind with value. And how do I show my love by filling my mind with value? I'm saying, God, I'm going to give you something of value back. I'm to concentrate on the noble things. The noble thing is to God, I value you so much. God, I love you so much. I'm going to give you my time. I'm going to give you my treasure. I'm going to give you my talent. It all belongs to you because I value you so much that I'm going to give you the things that I value the most. That's the kind of relationship God is calling you and I to walk in when it comes to filling our mind with what is noble. He talks about number three, whatever is right. That means I cooperate with God's plan. I cooperate with God's plan. This word right is to do, has to do with the way we make decisions in our life. How we make our tough decisions and how we handle decisions. He says we cooperate with God's plan. We do things according to what's right. What is right? He says according to God's will in our life. We do things according to God's will and God's plans. He says we're to fill our mind with God's plan. We're to fill our mind and think about what is God's purpose for my life. What is God's plan for my life? And many times we allow ourselves, we sit around, we dream our own dream all day long. Remember me talking about that several weeks ago? I had that big card up here with all the things I put inside there. We will think about our own dream, and then we put God's name on it. Here's God's dream. No, God's got a dream over here. He's got a plan. He's got a will, and he's wanting you and I to concentrate on this thing. God, I want your will to be done in my life. God, I've got some dreams, and those things are important, but God, those things all come under subjection to your will, to your plan. I'm to think about doing the right thing. And the right thing is following God's will for my life. The right thing is following God's will for my marriage. The right thing is following God's will on my job. The right thing is following God's will at my school. Those are the things that God is asking me to do. Those are the things God is asking me to fill my mind with. Let's look what Scripture says about this. Psalms 33:11. The plans of the Lord stand firm forever. but the purposes of his heart through all generations. God has got a plan that stands firm forever. This plan has not changed, and you and I are called to put our mind to these things. And if we're not careful, our mind gets filled up with everything else that's selfish, everything else that comes in, and it clouds us out, and it takes a bigger priority. And then you find yourself living your own dream and being unfulfilled in your life. You feel like you're separating from God. And God says, if you'll fill your mind with my will and say, God, I want to concentrate on the good things of you. God, I want to concentrate on your plan for my life. I want to meditate on that thing. And God, these other things I know that I have in my heart to do, those things will come into play in the right time under your will. You'll bring those things to pass. I can't do them on my own. My job is to focus on you and your plan for my life. And then these other dreams that I have, those things will follow. They will follow things because you want to bless me. And so we know this thing right here that God is calling us to fill our mind with the things that are right. Doing the right thing, making right decisions. What would God have me to do? God, what is your will? What is your purpose for me? The fourth thing we see here is whatever is pure. That word, whatever is pure. It's you appropriate God's cleansing in your heart. We appropriate God's cleansing in our heart, knowing this, that God has a purity in our heart that he wants you and I to walk in. And sometimes we think of this and we think, he just wants me to concentrate on pure things. And what the scripture really breaks down when you study it out and to interpret it, what it really means is this, that God wants you to concentrate on the pure things that he brings to your life. And so how many know when we talk about our past that we don't like to go there, do we? How many like to talk about your past sin? It's not an easy thing to do. That even me mentioning, talking about past sin, some of you right now, you got guilt that'll try to come in and it'll begin to come. You're like, ew, I don't want to talk about that. I don't want to go there. I feel guilty and I feel unclean and you just feel this whole thing of guilt. And the scripture that teaches us, this is what God teaches us. Let's look at this right here. Psalms 51:2. Oh, wash me, cleanse me from this guilt. Let me be pure again. That when we're called to concentrate on what is pure, what should happen is when we talk about our past, sin in our life, that many times we think of the bad thing, don't we? I mean, as soon as we talk about our past, we think of the bad feeling that goes along with sin. We feel the shame of that. But what God's wanting us to do is to change that. Now, it would be great if we could just forget our sin altogether, wouldn't it? It'd be great if we had no memory of our sin. But we do. We have a good memory. So our memory and our mind, it remembers the past sin we've done in our life. And what God's saying is that when you think of your past sin, I don't want you to think of guilt, but I want you to think of my grace. I want you to think of that I have come and I've forgiven you of that, and that I want a piece of God. I want it to be pure. That, you know, God has made me pure. That when you concentrate on the purity of God and think, you know what, yeah, I have past sin in my life, but thank God he's forgiven me. Thank God he's brought me out of that. Thank God that he forgave me. Thank God that he gave me his grace. Thank God that he changed me. Thank God that he restored me. Thank God. Thank God. Thank God. It's a purity that God's wanting you and I to have. It's a pure thought to think of. When I think of things in my past, when those things come up against me, it's a pure thought to think, you know what? God has brought me out of so much. I am so thankful in my life. He says, concentrate on things that are pure. You and I, we are made pure by the cleansing of the blood of Jesus. Oh, wash me. Cleanse me from this guilt. Let me be pure again. There's a purity that you and I can walk in that we can never do on our own. And every time that God says, I want you to concentrate on the things that are pure, he's saying, concentrate on my forgiveness. Concentrate on my grace. Concentrate on, thank the Lord that I have brought purity to your life. To the thing that you saw as perversion, as the thing you saw as mistakes and things you saw as major failures, I see them as things that I have made pure through my grace. And so anytime those thoughts are being brought up and you remember that past, God says, concentrate on the purity of knowing that I have redeemed you, that I have saved you, I have forgiven you, I have washed your sins away. That's the purity that God says that we are to fill our mind with today. It's letting go of the guilt and walking in purity. Are you thinking about your guilt or are you thinking about his grace? God says, think about my grace. Fill your mind with the purity in your life. Number five, you anticipate God's abundance in your life. That's what he means by the word lovely. He says, concentrate on what is lovely. This word lovely is this meaning of behind what's really enjoyable. The abundance of what God really set for you to enjoy. Look what it says in 1 Timothy 6:17. It talks about this. So it says, God richly gives us everything to enjoy. God has richly given us everything to enjoy. Your life should be about enjoying the things of God. Your life should be about enjoying the things of God. And listen, if you come to church, man, and you say, you know what, this Christianity thing just brings me down. Man, you're totally off base, man. You're totally whacked in the head because you've got a bad theology. Okay? Because our Christian grace and our Christian base of who we are has to do with the enjoyment of knowing that God has set my feet in purity. And God has brought me back to a right relationship. And I can truly enjoy life for the first time in the abundance of who God is. There's an enjoyment that comes with loving your life. God says, I want you to fill your mind with what's lovely, the things that are enjoyment. And so how do we enjoy the things of God? Well, concentrate on God's character. Put your mind in, I enjoy that God is the fact that he is faithful, he is loving, he's forgiving. Concentrate on God's character. Concentrate on God's creation. God, I thank you, God, you created the heavens and the earth. And man, you this are such a great artist. And God, you are such a great creator. Enjoy God's care. Enjoy it. God, you care for me. You take care of me. God, no matter how bad the recession may be right now, no matter how things may happen, God, you're going to take care of me and my family. I am concentrating on things that are lovely. I'm concentrating on things that are of God. Number six, he says to concentrate on things that are admirable. What's it mean to concentrate on things that are admirable? It means something that's attractive or worth talking about, especially in others. That's what he's talking about here, that we learn to communicate what you see of God in others. That's the word admirable. It means to we look at other people and we look at trying to bring out things in our life that are of importance here. Look what it says in Philippians 4:8. Think about the things that are pure and lovely and dwell on the fine and good things in others. When God's talking about thinking about things that are admirable, he's talking about we think about things in our life. What's the first thing you think of when you see people? That's the question I have for you. What's the first thing you think of when you tomorrow when you go to work, what's the first thing you're going to think about your coworker? What a jerk. That person gets on my nerves. That person talks too much. That person's laugh drives me crazy. What is the thing that's going to drive you crazy tomorrow when you go to work? And God's saying, don't concentrate on all the things that drive you crazy. He says, if you want to live a life and have your mind worshiping, you got to learn to look for the good in people. You got to learn to look for the things that are good in people. And that takes some work, doesn't it? I can tell you this right now. This is some good marriage counseling right here. You want to have a good marriage, you learn to look for the good in your spouse because the bad will always pop up. You don't have to look for the bad. It's always right there. You live with each other and it happens. But it takes work to continue to look for the good in each other. And God says, I want you to have this kind of relationship. Concentrate on the things that are good, that are admirable. You look in people's lives and you look for the good things in their life. And our human nature is just to do the opposite. Our first thing we want to do is look at the bad things. Well, they got this going on, they do this, and they do that. I mean, walk around thinking this about this person and this about that person and our mind thinking about this and all these things. And pretty soon we're walking around and judging all these people and we're classing them and we're putting them here in this category and God thinks about them. This is what God thinks about them. We got all these preconceived ideas about people. And God says, I don't want you to think that way about people because I want you to look for the good in them. I want you to fill your mind with what's admirable. Look for the good in them. And you ever had somebody who you really had a stretch to think about that? You ever had anybody you say, Pastor, I understand it, but I can't find even one thing good with them to really be, you know, to think about them. And here's a little exercise you can do. I've done this before. You need to learn to say, you know what, I'm going to think about them. What if they gave their life to Christ? What if they gave everything to Jesus? How would their life change? How would they be acting then? How would they change if they did that? And begin to see that person and say, you know what? If they knew God, man, they would really change. And begin to treat them that way. Say, you know what? I'm going to see you as though you're changed. I'm going to see you as the way God sees you. Because how many are glad that God saw us that way? How many are glad that God looked at us and then said, you know what? I see the bad in you. I see the person you really are. I think I'll wait a while before I really like you. I think I'll just wait till you change. No, God loves us. While we were yet sinners, while we were yet sinners, Christ did what? He died for us. And the Bible is full of times where God looks at somebody and changes their name. I mean, God was great about changing people's names. You would look at them and say, yeah, the world calls you this, but I call you this. I call you blessed. I'm going to call you the Rock, Peter. I'm going to change your name, man. You're going to become Peter, the Rock. My church will be built upon you. We're going to change your name. And we see all through Scripture, God changed names of people because God saw the best in them. And he would change their name, and their name would many times be the very opposite of what they really were. I mean, it could be some of the most low-down jerks of people in the Bible. There's some very despicable things, and God would look at them and say, yeah, that's right, but I see you as a prince of God. Matter of fact, I'm going to change your name to Prince of God. Here you go. Come on. That's your name. Your name went from being deceiver to Prince of God? But what? God saw the admirable things in us. That's the way God views us. He sees what's admirable in us. And God says when you learn to take on the mind and put your mind and concentrate on these things, you look for the good in people. Look for the person they can be. I dare you to look at your husband this week and say, you know what? I'm going to love you for the man that I know you can be this week. I dare you to look at your wife this week and say, I'm going to love you for the person that I know God can make you be this week. And I'm going to quit concentrating on all the faults. And I'm going to quit concentrating on all the things that drive me crazy. And I'm going to learn to concentrate on what's admirable about you. I'm going to learn to appreciate the things that, and this thing, you know, I'm going to look in the best of you. I'm going to think the best of you this week. I dare you to practice that this week and see if things don't get a little better in your marriage this week. Don't see if you didn't have a little bit better time of communicating and enjoying. God says concentrate on things that are admirable. And let me see what else we see here. Number 7, if there's anything that's excellent, motivate your days by God's greatness. Motivate your days by God's greatness. God says think of the things that are excellent. Think of things that are excellent, man. You can do that. Psalms 145, because it's a great way to do that. This is what the psalmist said. I will praise you every day. This is a big scripture. I will praise you every day. I will praise you forever and ever. The Lord is great and worthy of our praise. No one can understand how great he is. Parents, will you tell their children what you have done? They will retell your mighty acts, wonderful majesty and glory. And I will think about your miracles. They will tell about the amazing things you do. And I will tell how great you are. Fill your minds with God's greatness. Begin to declare it in your life how great God is. It's easy to forget how great God is, isn't it? It's easy to focus on our problems in our life. We go home today and we'll fill our minds with all of our problems. If we're not careful, we'll concentrate on all those problems. And God says, no, I want you to begin to fill your mind with my greatness. Fill your mind with the things that are excellent. God is excellent. Think of his greatness in your life. And we say this many times here. If we'll focus in upon God, the more I focus on how big he is, the smaller my problems become in my sight. But if I stare at my problems long enough, they get bigger and bigger and bigger, don't they? They grow and they get, I'm pretty soon like overwhelmed by my problems. I'm staring at them. I'm thinking on them. I meditate on them. I can't go to sleep at night because I'm thinking about this problem. And I can't work the way I should because I'm thinking about this problem. This thing becomes just a huge mountain in my life. And God says, quit thinking about that. Fill your mind with my excellence. Fill your mind with my greatness, how great I am in your life. Put your focus there and see if it doesn't change. As musicians come this morning, I'm going to close with this thought right here. Number 8, the last thing here in this verse that he tells us to do. If anything is praiseworthy, let your mind dwell on that. What's that mean? It simply means this. If anything that you need to do, I need to celebrate what God is doing. I need to learn to celebrate what God is doing. If anything is praiseworthy, celebrate it. How many times do you celebrate what God's doing in your life and what God has done? How many times do you celebrate what God is doing and what God has done in your life? Isn't it easy to read Scripture and be like, well, that was good. That happened for Moses and the children of Israel, but ain't nothing exciting happened to me today. And we forget so often how much God has done in our life. We can get so focused on our problems. We get so focused on the things that are not coming to pass yet in our life that we forget what God's already done. And we need to celebrate what God's done in our life. We need to celebrate, God, you've been faithful to me. God, you have restored me. God, you have redeemed me. God, I remember a time in my life when I was so far from you, God, and you came and you rescued me and you brought me back to right relationship with you. God, I remember a time when you healed my body. God, I remember a time you helped me get another job. God, I remember the time when it looked very bleak in my life and my marriage was restored. God, I remember the time. And God, I celebrate you today because you are a faithful God. God, I celebrate you today because you are a great God. God, I celebrate you today because, God, you're a big God. And, God, I'm going to celebrate your goodness in my life. I'm going to fill my mind with the things that you've done great in my life. I'm going to fill my mind with the greatness of who you are. That's how we learn to fill our mind with the things of God. And God says, I want you to worship me and love me with what? With all of your mind. How many know if I can learn to put some of these things in principle in my life, in my mind, it's going to change the way I act. It's going to change the way I react. It's going to change the way I talk. It's going to change the way I love. It's going to change the way I work. It's going to change the way I serve. It's going to change the way I give. Because God knows if we can change it up here, we can be transformed by the renewing of our mind. I can take a hold of the captive of the thoughts that are out there, man, the thoughts that try to bring other things in my life, and I can change the station. I can choose to change that station. Say, God, I'm going to focus in. I'm going to tune in on your things in my life. I'm going to tune in what your word says about me. I'm going to tune in about how great you are. I'm going to tune in and look for the best in others. I'm going to tune in and walk in this greatness, this excellence that you have for my life. I'm going to concentrate on things that are praiseworthy in my life. Quit getting my mind so worried about things that have happened in my past. I'm going to thank God that I have a pure future and my past is under the blood. I thank God. I'm filling my mind with these things. This is a money-back guarantee. I guarantee you, apply these principles to your life and see if it's not changed your outlook. I think it even changed your health. I believe you'll become a more healthy person, full of life and energy when you begin to concentrate on the right things. Let's bow our heads this morning. With our heads bowed today, I don't like to close the service out without giving you a chance. Maybe you're here today and say, Pastor, you're talking about filling your mind with the things of God. First of all, I just need to get right with God. I need to ask Him to be the Lord of my life. And today as you're talking, I realized that, man, that God loves me. He wants to change who I am, and He can forgive me no matter what I've done in my life. He loved me so much. If you're here today and say, that's me, Pastor, I just want to accept Jesus Christ as my Lord and Savior. I would not embarrass you in any way. But maybe you want to join the 12 others last week who raised your hands who made that commitment. Maybe today you're here and you want to make that same commitment. Say, I want to make Jesus Christ Lord of my life. Nobody looking. Can you just raise your hands? That's me, Pastor. I want to accept Jesus Christ as my Lord and Savior. Can you raise it up today? Let me see that if you want to do that today. I want to make sure you have plenty of time to do that. Make sure you have that opportunity if you're here today. Can you raise it high? Thank you. Anybody else here today? Say, that's me, Pastor. I want to accept Jesus Christ as my Lord and Savior today. Thank you. Anybody else here today? Say, that's me, Pastor. I want to accept Jesus Christ today. I'm going to join these two others who have already raised their hands. That's me. I want to accept Jesus today. I'm ready. I'm tired of running from Him. I'm tired. I know that God's wanted me to walk in a right relationship today. Anybody else here today? You haven't raised your hand. You want to raise it today where I can see it. Can you just do that today where I can see that? Can you raise it high? Okay, I'm going to say this prayer first, and then I'm going to close it out with a word of prayer. Let's all say this prayer. Say, Dear Jesus, forgive me my sins. I give you everything I am. I give it to you today. I accept your love. I accept your forgiveness today. Be Lord of my life. I will live for you. In Jesus' name, amen. If you prayed that prayer today, say, welcome to the family of God. Yeah, let's give them a hand clap. If you prayed that prayer today, we got a special gift for you today before you leave. On your way out, we got some free Bibles and some other material just to help you what to do next, some things, some material that you can read. very beneficial. So stop by there today and get those in the very back. We have those for you as you leave today. But I'm going to invite you to stand with me today. I want to pray for you today as we close out. How many this week, well, just raise your hand. I'm not going to ask you to bow your heads, but how many this week say, Pastor, I want to learn to, maybe I can't do all 8 things right away, but this week I want to try to just take 1 or 2 things, and I want to try to fill my mind with those things we talked about today. Can you raise your hands? That's me. Yeah. This is going to change right here. It comes in baby steps. It comes in taking 1 step. You're not going to get all 8 things tomorrow, okay? But if you can put 1 thing under your belt this week or this month, then next month begin to try it again a little more and add in more. And pretty soon you've changed. You've renewed yourself. You transformed yourself by the renewing of your mind. I want to pray for you today. Can I do that? Father, today, I pray for every person here that, God, we would learn to fill our mind with the things of you. We learn to fill our mind with the things you've asked us to do. God, I pray that, God, we would begin to have a better outlook in our life. We're going to see you for your greatness. See you for your excellence. To see admirable things in other people. To see the purity of who you are and what you've done in our life. God, to see you, God, the things that are lovely, the things that are excellent. God, we pray today that, God, our mind begin to think differently. That, God, we would tune in, Lord, to the things of you. And we begin to tune out doubt and tune out things, Lord, that cause us to lose our focus. And, God, we pray today that our minds become focused in on the things of God. That we could change by the renewing of our mind daily. And Lord, as we do this today, I pray that, Father, your spirit begins to encourage them. God, give them strength to do this. God, give them wisdom. And God, I pray that through your Holy Spirit today, that God, that you are filling them with power, Lord, to change and change in our mind, learning to love you today with all of our mind. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Amen. God bless you today. Hug a neck before you leave. Shake a hand. You guys have a great day.